The Feast of the Holy Family. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 and 19 to 23. After the wise men had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother with you, and escape into Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, because Herod intends to search for the child and to do away with him." So Joseph got up, and taking the child and his mother with him, left that night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod was dead. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." After Herod's death, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother with you, and go back to the land of Israel, for those who wanted to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up, and taking the child and his mother with him, went back to the land of Israel. But when he learnt that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as ruler of Judea, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. There he settled in a town called Nazareth. In this way the words spoken through the prophets were to be fulfilled, "He will be called a Nazarene."
The scene is a house in Bethlehem, about a year after the birth of Jesus, and following soon after the visit of the three magi. It is night. Joseph is sleeping in a little bed in his very small room. He is lying on one side and is smiling at some vision he sees in a dream. But his smile turns into an expression of anxiety. He is now sighing deeply, as if he had a nightmare, and he awakens with a start. He sits up, rubs his eyes and looks around. It is the dead of night. He grasps his robe, puts on his sandals and goes towards the door facing his bed. He knocks very gently with the tips of his fingers. He must have heard a voice asking him to enter, because he opens the door carefully and goes in. The room is a little larger than his own, and there is a low bed in it near a cradle with a night lamp in a corner. But Mary is not sleeping. She is kneeling near the cradle in her light dress and is praying, watching Jesus who is sleeping peacefully. Jesus is the same age as I saw him in the vision of the Magi, a child about 1 year old, beautiful, rosy and fair-haired. He is sleeping with his curly head sunk in the pillow and a clenched fist under his chin. "Are you not sleeping?" Joseph asks in a low, surprised voice. "Why not? Is Jesus not well?" "Oh no, Joseph, he's all right. I'm praying. Later I will sleep." "Why have you come, Joseph?" Joseph speaks in a very low voice, lest he should awaken the child. But it is an excited voice. "We must go away from here at once. It must be at once. Prepare the trunk and a sack with everything you can put in them. I'll prepare the rest. I'll take as much as I can. We will flee at dawn. I would go even sooner, but I must speak to the landlady." "But why this flight?" asks Mary. "I'll tell you later. It's because of Jesus. An angel said to me, 'Take the child and his mother and escape into Egypt. Don't waste any time. I'm going to prepare what I can.'" There is no need to tell Mary not to waste time. As soon as she hears Joseph mention an angel, Jesus, and the flight, she understands that her creature is in danger and jumps to her feet. Her face is whiter than wax, and she is holding one hand against her heart, completely distressed. Then she begins to move about, quick and agile, laying the clothes in the trunk and in a large sack which she places on her bed, which is still untouched. Although she is disheartened, she does not lose her head. She acts quickly but orderly. Now and again, when passing near the cradle, she looks at the child who is sleeping peacefully. Only when her sack is full, and it is obviously very heavy, she calls Joseph to help her to close it and take it off the bed. "Shall I take woolen blankets too?" asks Mary. "Take as much as you can. We will lose the rest. Do take as much as you can. Things will be useful because we will have to stay away for a long time, Mary." Joseph is very sad in saying so, and one can easily imagine how Mary feels. Joseph ties the blankets with a rope, and while doing so he says, "We will leave the quilts and the mats. Even if I take 3 donkeys, I cannot overload them. We'll have a long and uncomfortable journey, partly in the mountains and in the desert. Cover Jesus well. The nights will be cold. I've taken the gifts of the Magi because they'll be very useful down there. I'm going to spend all the money I have to buy 2 donkeys. We cannot send them back, so I'll have to buy them. I'll go now, without waiting for the dawn. I know where to find them. You finish preparing everything." And he goes out. Mary gathers a few more things. Then, after looking at Jesus, she goes out and comes back with some little dresses which appear to be still damp. Perhaps they were washed the day before. She folds them, wraps them up in a cloth, and adds them to the other things. There is nothing else. She looks around, and in a corner she sees one of Jesus' toys, a little sheep carved in wood. Picks it up, sobbing, and kisses it. On the wood there are traces of Jesus' little teeth, and the ears of the little sheep are all nibbled. Mary caresses the thing without any value, a plain piece of light wood, but it is of great value to her, because it tells her of Joseph's love for Jesus and speaks to her of her child. Now there is really nothing else except Jesus in the little cradle. She goes to the cradle and shakes it a little to wake up the baby, but he whimpers a little, turns round and continues to sleep. Mary pats his curls gently. Jesus opens his little mouth, yawning. Mary bends down and kisses his cheek, and Jesus wakes up completely. He opens his eyes, sees his mother, smiles, and stretches his little hands towards her breast. "Yes, love of your mummy, yes, your milk, before the usual time. But you are always ready to suck your mummy's breast, my little holy lamb." Jesus laughs and plays, kicking his little feet out of the blankets and moving his arms happily in a typical childish style. It is so beautiful to see. He pushes his feet against his mummy's stomach. He arches his back, leaning his fair head on her breast, and then throws himself back and laughs. He looks most beautiful in his little linen shirt, plump and as rosy as a flower. Mary smiles and cries at the same time, while the child looks at her, surprised to see her crying. He stretches one little hand towards the shiny traces of tears, and it gets wet while patting her face. And very gracefully, he leans once again on his mother's breast, clinging to it and patting it with his hand. Mary kisses his hair, takes him in her arms, sits down and dresses him. His little woolen dress has now been put on, and his sandals have been tied on his feet. Then he falls asleep again. Mary rises very slowly and lays him on the quilt on her bed. She covers him with her mantle. She goes back to the cradle and folds its little blankets, and she cries over the empty cradle. Joseph comes back. Are you ready? Is Jesus ready? Have you taken his blankets and his little bed? We can't take his cradle, but he must at least have his little mattress. Poor baby, whose death they're seeking. Joseph, shouts Mary, while she grasps his arm. Yes, Mary, his death. Herod wants him dead, because he is afraid of him. A filthy beast. Because he is afraid of this innocent child. I don't know what he will do when he realizes that he has escaped. But we'll be far away by that time. I don't think he will revenge himself by searching for him as far as Galilee. It would be very difficult for him to find out that we are Galileans, least of all that we are from Nazareth, and precisely who we are. But if that should happen, God will help us just the same. Don't cry, Mary. To see you crying is a greater pain for me than having to go into exile. Forgive me, Joseph. I'm not crying for myself or for the few things I'm losing. I'm crying for you. You already have had to sacrifice yourself so much. And now once again you'll have no customers, no home. How much I am costing you, Joseph. How much? No, Mary, you do not cost me. You comfort me, always. Don't worry about the future. We have the gifts of the Magi. They will serve for the first days. And later I'll find some work. But what about you? Who will relieve your longing for your home in Nazareth, which is so dear to you? And Mary replies, Jesus, having him, I have what I had there. And I, having Jesus, have my native land. I have my God. I lose nothing of what is dear to me above all things. The only important thing is to save Jesus, and then we have everything. Come, Mary, it is nearly dawn. Time to say goodbye to our hostess and load our things. Everything will be all right. Mary gets up obediently. She puts on her mantle while Joseph makes up the last parcel and goes out with it. Mary lifts the child gently, envelops him in a shawl, and clasps him to her heart. In the first light of dawn, three little donkeys can be seen. Joseph is busy fastening the trunk and bundles on the pack saddle of the first one. I can see his carpenter's tools tied in a bundle on top of the sack. After more tears and goodbyes, Mary mounts her little donkey while the landlady is holding Jesus in her arms and kissing him once again. She then hands him back to Mary. Joseph ties his donkey to the one loaded with the goods, then mounts his donkey, holding the reins of Mary's. The flight begins, while Bethlehem, still dreaming of the phantasmagoric scene of the Magi, is sleeping peacefully, unaware of what is threatening this town. A beautiful description of the life of the Holy Family in Egypt is described in Volume 1 of The Palm of the Man God. Much later, during the first year of his public life, Jesus tells of how the Holy Family escaped to Egypt, where they lived in a house within sight of a pyramid. He then says, On our way back to our fatherland, we directed our steps towards Nazareth. We avoided Hebron and Bethlehem and travelled close to the sea, and we went back to Galilee. Jesus comments to Maria Valtorta, We loved our country, and in our country we loved our little Nazareth above every other town in Palestine. We were fond of our house, of our relatives and friends. My mother uttered a cry of joy when after about 4 years she went back to Nazareth, entered her house, and kissed the walls where her yes had opened her bosom to receive the Son of God. Joseph joyfully greeted his relatives and his little nephews, who had grown in numbers and in years. And he rejoiced when he saw that his fellow citizens remembered him, and they sought him out because of his ability. This is the last teaching of the vision, and it is a halo which shines on the heads of Mary and Joseph, the inviolate virgin and the just and chaste man. They were two lilies, amongst whom I grew up, receiving only the perfume of purity.